This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Give it to Turner. Going to the right side of the final. Who to start, who to sit, who's a sleeper, and who's a bust. A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, looks, fires over the middle, caught, the touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's Garrett Leach, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
Welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown, fantasy football fanatics worldwide. It's great to be here with you. Year number three of the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com radio. My name is Brian Lowe, and I have become the resident fantasy football geek around here. I like to use different words, but geek works. It's true. I'm a geek. I'm a fantasy football geek. And I know that if you're listening right now, you're a fantasy football freak as well. And we're happy to have you with us as we embark on really what is one of my favorite elements of working here at Patriots.com, Crash Sports Productions, Patriots Football Weekly, is doing this fantasy football show 1 hour a week and being joined by you, loyal callers, loyal emailers, loyal listeners. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun in the show, and we're happy to have you with us. Spread the word. Hope you're new to the show, and you're going to enjoy as well. Now, important to note that we're coming to you today in week number one at a special time. Tuesday at 3 o'clock is not our normal time of operation on the Fantasy Lowdown. We'll be coming your way every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern here on Patriots.com. And then, of course, as all the programming is here, repeated, and then also as a podcast, so you can catch up on any news and information and analysis that you missed if you didn't have a chance to listen to the show live. So Thursdays from 4 to 5 is the Fantasy Lowdown. But week number one, for various reasons, we're coming to you today on this Tuesday as we embark on week number one of the NFL season. The best way to reach us, and believe me, we want you to reach us. This show is driven by your calls and emails and your questions on who to start, your questions on who to sit, a trade you might have in the works, and you want to bounce it off me and many of the guests that we're going to have here on the Fantasy Lowdown throughout the year. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. The same email address for all the other great programming here on Patriots.com. That's how you can reach us. And what I always like to say is you can email us at any time during the week. Email at Friday night, email on Sunday during a slate of NFL games, email Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or certainly email us while we're on the show live. We will get to your email between 4 and 5 on Thursdays, webradio at patriots.com. You can certainly call us as well, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. So webradio at patriots.com and 508-543-7482. I like to think that I'm a fantasy football expert, but ask my friends. I was out with a few very close friends of mine over the weekend, and we started our fantasy football trash talking, and we actually had our draft very early this year. We had it the second weekend of August, I believe, a little earlier than I would ever want to do it. But hey, as long as everyone's doing it at the same time, I guess it doesn't really matter. The challenges are the same. And, you know, we started getting into some trash talking, and my friends very good-naturedly, were dogging me about the fact that I simply never win that league. I have never won that league. I've come close. I've made the championship game. I've never won that league. Now, with some work friends of mine, I've been in a league for 6 or 7 years, and I've won it twice. I'm no expert. I don't have all the answers, but I like to follow this stuff. I like to follow the NFL and how it relates to fantasy football, so I like to think that I can maybe, you know, be a guy you can bounce some ideas off of. That's what we try to do here. So, you know, we're all about getting your emails and finding out what you think about the fantasy football weekend ahead. So let's get right into it. We already have a few emails in the inbox that we're going to get to in a few moments. But we might as well first start out with Thursday night's game, Minnesota at New Orleans, which is simply a fantasy football dream night. You know, I know that there have been some Thursday night games in the past that have been, you know, not as exciting, not as dramatic when it comes to fantasy. I mean, listen, week one, the first game every year, who isn't watching that? Whether you have fantasy football reasons or you're a fan of one of the two teams or, you know, you're gambling or betting for entertainment purposes only, you always have an interest in that first game, but how exciting is it that, you know, Minnesota, New Orleans, if you own a fantasy football team, there's a pretty good chance that you or your opponent has someone in that game. You got two quarterbacks, Brett Favre and Drew Brees. You've got running backs Adrian Peterson, Pierre Thomas. You've got a boatload of wide receivers and tight ends. And then, to be perfectly honest with you, I think Minnesota and New Orleans are two pretty intriguing defenses over the course of the year, but I don't really have much interest in owning either one of them on this particular week. In fact, I'm in three fantasy leagues this year, and in one of them we had the draft last night, and I had an opportunity to draft the New Orleans Saints defense. I hadn't taken a defense yet. It was, you know, I'm not sure exactly which round. Actually, I do have it up right here. It was probably around 9, 10, 11. Actually, it was round 12. I took the Saints. And I took the Saints knowing that they had a few very nice matchups early in the season that I was interested in owning them and having them, you know, having them start. But I don't want to start the Saints defense this Thursday night. So I went ahead and took the Dolphins defense a few rounds later. The Dolphins open up at Buffalo this year. Now, the Dolphins defense to me is a solid, not an elite defense, but a solid fantasy defense that has a great matchup in week one. So I'll start the Dolphins defense in week one and sit the Saints. I don't think I'm going to be disappointed in making that move, but you never know. I'm going to sit the Saints and then take my chances later on, maybe even cut the Dolphins after week one and go week to week. But a very intriguing element of that week one game, of this Thursday night game, Minnesota-New Orleans, is that you've got two very good defenses that you just might not want to start in week one. Drew Brees, an elite quarterback. Brett Favre, certainly he's on a team in your league. There's no question about that. But is he startable this week? It depends on who else you have at quarterback. So, you know, certainly a ton of fantasy value in that game, which is very interesting for that first game of the year. So, you know, typically we do the show on Thursday at 4 o'clock, and it makes it a little tight to get that lineup in after listening to any of the quote-unquote advice you might get on this show. But that certainly is one to keep track of. Let's spread out the emails a little bit here, and let's get to the first one. And congratulations to Todd in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Todd is definitely one of our loyal emailers. And Todd, congratulations on being emailer number one for the 2010 campaign of the Fantasy Lowdown. Thanks so much, Todd. Here we go. B-Low got a few questions on my two money league teams. But first, thanks for your advice last season. You led the Arrogant Bastards to a championship. That's right. I guess I gave Todd some sage advice in that league. Of course, I probably gave the other participants in that league what I thought was sage advice as well. And, you know, someone has to win. Several other teams have to lose. Anyways, here's the starting roster I'm thinking about for my first team called Concentrated Evil. All right, 12-team league, Concentrated Evil. Here we go, Todd. His quarterback is Joe Flacco at the Jets. Now, I'll tell you what. This is certainly on my list of topics to discuss today. Joe Flacco at the Jets. The Jets defense, a top-notch defense anyways, as we all know with the news of this week, Darrelle Revis is back, and he's probably going to play. He's probably going to start on Sunday against the Ravens. That, to me, has a huge impact on the Jets' opponents this year, and certainly the early season opponents, the first 2 weeks, of course, Baltimore and the Patriots. So a guy like Anquan Boldin, even TJ Houshmandzadeh, who's now in the Ravens, you know, there's a big difference between lining up opposite Antonio Cromartie or Kyle Wilson and lining up opposite Darrelle Revis, pretty much the elite shutdown corner in the league. There might not be another cornerback in the NFL who has such an impact on fantasy leagues around the country. Darrelle Revis lining up against your wide receiver, that is not very good news. Randy Moss, to me, is going to have a huge season. I don't think he's going to have a great week two, and I don't think he's going to do well in the later season game. By the way, let's say hello to Kevin. Kevin, our new producer, new to Patreon. Hey, Kevin. Great to have you on board. Now, Kevin, you have got quite a challenge ahead of you, living up to the producers of the past, whether it be Gary, whether it be Jason, whether it be Brian. I mean, these guys. Now, what I should say about Jason is that he was a great producer, but a horrific fantasy football player. And out of every hour each week, I'd say a good 6 to 7 minutes were devoted to, embarrassing Jason and how bad his team was last year. I had a lot of fun with that. I'm hoping to get the same with you, Kevin.
Yeah, should are we allowed to discuss our inside fantasy football league here over the air, though?
What happens between, well, today 3 and 4, but normally 4 and 5 on Thursdays, stays right here.
Okay.
You can discuss fantasy right here, with unfettered. I mean, you don't have to worry about looking over your shoulder. Oh, you know, is my boss going to think I'm not working? You can run. I will defend you if you sit there on your computer and work on your fantasy team during this show.
I like it.
All right. But don't work on it too hard, because I want you to lose a lot so I can make fun of you during this hour each week.
Sounds good.
Fair enough? All right.
Sounds good.
So Kevin Collins with us this year. Happy to have Kevin around. And, you know, Kevin, feel free to jump in at any time. I know you're busy producing over there, and I'll make you work. But jump in at any time with any fantasy thoughts that you have.
I look forward to it, Bilo.
So do I. Okay, back to the news at hand here. The Darrelle Revis rejoining the Jets. I think that's bad news for wide receivers who line up against Revis. There's just no question about it. Anyways, that doesn't mean that you don't start Joe Flacco this week, Todd. And as I'm looking down here, it shouldn't really matter for you, because the only quarterback on your bench is Ben Roethlisberger, and we know he's out for 4 weeks. So you don't have a decision there clearly, Todd, but we'll go, you know, keep that in mind with Flacco. Temper expectations a little bit this week going up against Darrelle Revis. Now, your running backs, you are stacked. Frank Gore and Steven Jackson. Gore at Seattle, Steven Jackson against Arizona. Those are two must-starts, no question about it. And you seem pretty well set right there. Ahmad Bradshaw and Tim Hightower, it looks like, are your other running backs. And Josh Cribbs are your other running backs that you know, are in the mix. But clearly, no question about it, Gore and Jackson are your starters. Now, because you have such elite wideouts, such elite running backs, it stands to reason that you don't have elite wide receivers, but a couple of good ones that I think are primed for pretty good weeks. DeSean Jackson, Philadelphia against Green Bay, and Malcolm Floyd at Kansas City. I think Malcolm Floyd, Legadou Nane, and now... San Diego just traded for Patrick Creighton. I think you've got a couple guys in San Diego who, without Vincent Jackson, I'm not positive how it's all going to shake out, but I really like Malcolm Floyd. He was one of my underrated sleepers over the course of last season. Not a ton of stats, a ton of touchdowns, but produced fairly solid stats each week. I like Malcolm Floyd this week against Kansas City and DeSean Jackson. So, you know, week to week, I'm not sure, Todd, if those are going to be elite wideouts for you. You also have Jeremy Maclin, it looks like, and Bernard Berrien. But you're making the right moves there, I think, Jackson and Floyd. Also, Laurent Robinson, I see, in your wide receiver tight end. And you mentioned on the fence to put Cribbs. Cribbs, of course, a wide receiver. I mentioned him as running back. Laurent Robinson on the fence to put Cribbs or Maclin at that spot. But Robinson is the Rams' number one wide receiver. Yeah, he is the number one wide receiver there. I don't think it's a bad move to start him. You know, I don't know if you want to go all in on the Philadelphia wideouts with DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. I think you're making the right move there, Laurent Robinson. But, you know, Sam Bradford's debut, you know, I struggle. I don't think that passing game is going to have a huge day. I think Steven Jackson's more the guy. And then Dallas Clark, your tight end, no question about that. Now, defense, Pittsburgh against Atlanta, that's a very interesting defense to go with, and it doesn't look like you have a backup defense. So, you know, I think the Atlanta offense is going to be okay. I don't know if that's going to be a great matchup for you, Todd. I'm not sure if you have a chance in your league to pick anyone up. You know, if you had an opportunity maybe to cut Josh Cribbs and pick up someone like, you know, if the Miami defense is available, or another, you know, another defense maybe this week to look at would be, well, I'm going to have to take a look at that for you. But Miami's defense would be one to consider. But, you know, not sold on Pittsburgh's defense. Let's quickly get to your second team there, Todd. The Whiskey Militia, also the defending champs. Not a bad year for Todd last year. His quarterback, Philip Rivers at Kansas City, no doubt about it. On the bench, it looks like you don't have another quarterback. Oh, you do have Matthew Stafford, but no question about it. You're going to go Rivers. I like that a lot. Running backs, Frank Gore and Arian Foster. Like Arian Foster a lot against Indianapolis this week. Interesting how that Houston running game seems to be shaking out, because it looks to be Arian Foster, clear-cut lead back for that team. Ben Tate goes down with an injury. Steve Slayton, injury-prone, pretty much a special teams guy at this point. Now, you know, I think Arian Foster's your guy, so those are two pretty good running backs to have there. And also you have Beanie Wells, and Bernard Scott. So Beanie Wells, I'm very high on, and at St. Louis, that's a pretty good matchup for him. So I actually think Arian Foster, Beanie Wells, maybe a toss-up, but I've got no problem with you going Foster, going in that direction right there. Wide receivers, Anquan Boldin and Malcolm Floyd. Now, Todd writes, the Ravens just got T.J. Houshmandzadeh, but I'm worried since Revis just signed but had no preseason. So definitely the balance you got to strike there. But, you know, to me, Anquan Boldin, I say go with him this week. You know, the big acquisition for Baltimore, that's a smart team. I don't think they're going to force the ball to Boldin, but I think Boldin, you know, whether, you know, Revis might line up against Boldin, and you've got to keep that in mind. But your wideouts, Boldin, Floyd, Berrien, Jabbar Gaffney, Jacoby Jones as your wideout tight end. I like what you did there, Boldin and Floyd. Tight end Vernon Davis, and then Jacoby Jones you have in that wide receiver tight end slot. Not bad. You got some pretty good matchups there. Vernon Davis at Seattle, I like that matchup a lot. Steven Gostkowski, kicker against Cincinnati, I see that as a shootout. I think he's going to get a couple of field goal opportunities and quite a few extra points, actually, in my mind. Defense, San Fran at Seattle, I think it's a great defense to have all year and definitely this week. San Fran in a very weak division. Seattle does not threaten me. If I'm a defense going up against Seattle, doesn't threaten me. I don't think their passing game is very good, and I think their running game is very much in flux. So I think that's a pretty solid matchup for you there, Todd, San Francisco at Seattle. So Todd from Jackson Hole, the first emailer of this year, thank you very much, and good luck in week one for you and those two teams right there. You're listening to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe here, 3 to 4 today on this Tuesday, but we'll be back every Thursday starting next week from 4 to 5. Web radio at Patriots.com, web radio at Patriots.com. That is how to reach us. Let's go to Jeremy now. Jeremy is another one of our loyal emailers, loyal listeners. Jeremy owns the Carlisle Indian School. Looks like that's, I guess, the name of his team for this year. Hi, Brian. I had offered to buy you guys lunch to start the season, and I haven't heard back from anyone. Whoa. I'd never miss a free lunch. I must not have gotten the email. Looks like he sent the. I don't know if the PFW guys addressed this, but Kevin, you might know. But listen, Jeremy, I'm not one to pass up a free lunch.
I took his email down for us.
Okay, listen. Okay, Jeremy, we're going to get this straight. You know, I appreciate the offer, and we're going to take you up on that. Much appreciated. Last year, I had the Minnesota Fighting Pike in the championship game to defend our title, but we lost by 7 points. The 2010 version of the Pike is called the Carlisle Indian School, named after the team led by Jim Thorpe and coached by Pop Warner. I like my team a lot, and the only question I have is the following. If Steve Smith, the Carolina Steve Smith, cannot play in week one, who should I start from my bench? Mike Williams, the Tampa Bay Mike Williams, I should add, or Jabbar Gaffney? I also have Dexter McCluster, but don't think he's ready for my starting lineup just yet. Remember, this is not a points-per-reception league. All right, Jeremy, let's break this down here. Steve Smith, Carolina. I'm kind of down on him this year. Much prefer the Steve Smith of the Giants, although I often see them sort of lumped together in rankings. I think if Steve Smith can't play, Mike Williams or Jabbar Gaffney, the Tampa Bay Mike Williams... would probably be the guy I'd go with. Now, some heavy pros and some heavy cons in this argument as far as Mike Williams with Tampa Bay. For one thing, they face Cleveland. That's not a defense to be threatened by. So Mike Williams, who has emerged after being a mid-round draft pick with a lot of question marks coming from Syracuse, he has emerged as a starter in Tampa Bay. Got Josh Freeman in his second year. Probably going to improve from last year and might be looking at Mike Williams as his go-to guy, and they play against Cleveland. So those are two things in your favor for this week. Not in your favor is you talk about an unknown quantity. I mean, rookie wide receivers don't often jump out and have massive week ones. They often don't have massive first years. But this might be a case where he's got the right opponent, got the right mindset, the right feel, the right role in the offense. And I think he could have a big week in his debut, Mike Williams. I'd go Steve Smith of Carolina first, but Mike Williams of Tampa Bay. How interesting is it that we've got two Steve Smiths and two Mike Williams, two of each in the NFL, and all four of them are wide receivers with fantasy implications this year? If you say Steve Smith, you've got to specify. If you say Mike Williams, you've got to specify. How about the Mike Williams in Seattle? What a story that has become. A complete draft bust. And now, with T.J. Houshmandzadeh leaving that team, You've got Deion Branch, you've got Deion Butler, you've got Golden Tate, you've got Mike Williams, sort of a free-for-all there as far as wide receivers with the Seahawks. And the Mike Williams out of USC, I mean, he has a chance to listen, he's with Pete Carroll, his coach in college. If there is a coach who's going to want to try to get the best out of him and might be able to get the best out of him, it's probably Pete Carroll. So let's just keep that in mind when we're talking Steve Smith and Mike Williams. Jabbar Gaffney this week for Denver at Jacksonville. You know, it looks like Jabbar Gaffney is probably the number two wide out there. Demaryius Williams been banged up. You know, Eddie Royal is definitely in the mix. Of these guys that you're mentioning, I like Mike Williams the most if Steve Smith can't go. Now, Dexter McCluster I have on one of my teams, and I'm very high on him. Not the week for him. You mentioned it's not a points-per-reception league. And also, as far as Dexter McCluster goes, he's a rookie. We don't quite know his role in the offense. I feel like he can be a jack-of-all-trades, make some catches, run the ball a little bit, get some good yardage after the catch, but probably a guy to just hang on to, see how the first few weeks of the season develop before you go all in with having Dexter McCluster in your in your starting lineup. So, Jeremy, good luck to you with the Carlisle Indian School, and we appreciate your email. Hope to hear from you again, and certainly hope to get lunch out of you again this year. Thank you. Okay, the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio, web radio at Patriots.com. We're going to take a break just for a couple minutes. We're going to come back, get to more of your emails, and also the newest member of the Patriots Today crew joining me, Lindsay Petruni, a fantasy football freak just like me. She'll be in studio. We'll be right back after this.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Brian Lowe here with you. Webradio at Patriots.com is our email address, 508-543-7482. That's how to get in touch with us, as I mentioned at the top of the show. We'll generally be coming to you 4 to 5 Eastern on Thursday afternoon, starting a week from this Thursday, but coming to you the debut show for 2010 at a very special time right now, 3 to 4 Eastern. So happy to have you aboard with us. Send us your emails. Call in if you need to. Who to start? Who to sit? These are questions that I deal with every week, and these are questions that the newest member of our family here at Patriots.com Radio, questions that she deals with as well every week with her, is it 17 drafts that you're in? 17 fantasy leagues? 24? Oh, four? Now, I'm not one to make fun of someone who is in multiple drafts because I don't think I've been in, well, I certainly haven't been in fewer than two on any given year for the last decade. Three, potentially four this year. But Lindsay's with us. Lindsay might be having some technical issues here on her microphone. Has she turned on her microphone? Just hit the red button right down there. There you go. Like I said, she's
ding,
new
ding,
here.
Ding.
She is new here. although not your first time in the studio, but you know, hey,
second. But.
Listen, you know, hey, Kevin's relatively new too, so I'll give both of you a pass on that one.
Thanks,
you know,
Bilal.
The fact that neither
means
one of you
lot.
Thought of it, the fact that neither one of you thought to turn on the microphone, hey, as Lindsay can attest to, I forgot to turn on a microphone earlier today and some other programming we were doing for Patriots today, but that's a story for another day. So, Lindsay, you're a Pittsburgh resident. That doesn't necessarily mean you're a Steelers fan. You can keep that to yourself whether you are or not. But the best thing about fantasy football is you can live in Pittsburgh, Boston, Oklahoma, Wyoming, Alaska, or Japan, and it doesn't really matter what team you root for because you put your team allegiances away when it comes to fantasy football.
Do you, you do. Not? You absolutely do. But unfortunately, last night in our fantasy draft, I kind of put myself in a tough position and waited a little too long, I would say, to draft a quarterback and ended up drafting Ben Roethlisberger, which, you know, a lot of you thought it had to do with my Pittsburgh ties, but I'm actually glad I did it because that was when the trash talk finally started in our chat room in the draft, because before that I said I fell asleep like six times. I mean, that's the fun of the draft is, you know, to get the trash talk going, and no one was saying anything. And so finally, you know, my Big Ben pick sparked a wealth of trash talk.
Yeah, you see, that ridiculous pick, you're just trying to hide, you're just trying to use this whole trying to generate trash talk as a way to hide the fact that you made such a terrible pick, right? Is that what you're trying to do? Now, to your credit, I think now in this league, now among the leagues that both Lindsay and I are in, and there are multiple going on, you know, whether it's here with the Patriots or elsewhere, we are in this league together. Now, Lindsay had the first pick, I had the 12th pick. So we both were the snake, you know, we both had the double pick. Now, at the same time that you took Roethlisberger, you also took Matt Ryan, correct?
I did.
Okay, so you feel comfortable with Ryan. I think he's a solid.
I mean, I feel okay. I noticed that you drafted Carson Palmer, and
As my backup,
as your backup, which, yes, but I actually,
if you want to wheel and deal, let me know
a little bit, but I just can't get over the fact that his two receivers, I mean, they both have reality shows on VH1. It's like, you know, Osho saying he's going to steal one of the Minutemen's rifles and fire it off here at Gillette. Like, I don't know if I could take them seriously. I mean, I think that they're going to be,
we are bringing,
you know,
extra security
contenders,
that,
but
by the way.
Extra security to cover.
We are alerting the Minutemen.
Alert. It's kind of terrifying to think about that. But.
Well, I see your point. As you know, I'm no fan of these reality shows, these Ocho Cinco this, T.O. show that. Not for me. But putting that aside, I think that offense is going to be pretty good. I wouldn't hesitate to have Ocho Cinco on my team, and I kind of like Carson Palmer, especially since I have him as a backup, which means I don't have to worry about him here this Sunday. I've got Aaron Rodgers to worry about for this Sunday. But, you know, what you did there at quarterback, listen, I'm not against having Ben Roethlisberger on your fantasy football team. I mean, not just you, Lindsay, but anyone, because as long as you have a capable starter for the first 4 weeks and maybe weeks five and six because you don't know what Ben Roethlisberger is going to do. So I think having Matt Ryan, that's fine. I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. But like you said, I mean, it sounds like you might have an interest in upgrading there. You waited until, rounds?
The thing is, I am pretty against having Ben Roethlisberger as a fantasy quarterback, which is funny that you don't think it is, but I waited far too long. So that's my own, you know, my problem. And I in my other drafts, I waited too long to draft a quarterback too. And it's kind of strange. I don't know if you noticed this year, and I think that it stood out the most in one of my leagues where we have 14 people that were drafting, but I just feel like by the time you got to like the middle of the second round, it's like, man, who am I going to pick? You know, it was a bunch of mediocre players. Like,
you're talking about a quarterback specifically.
I'm talking about any position.
In general, really. Mid-second round to you was where
there
was a
drop. In this draft that I had, that there were 14 people, mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I just felt kind of cornered already. And I feel like that feeling doesn't really come along usually until, you know, fourth round. You're kind of like, well, you know, could take, you know, this running back as a backup,
yep.
could take, you know, but. This year, I don't know. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that my first draft, there were 14 people, felt a little bit more comfortable in the last two drafts. There were only 12 people. I felt like this selection was so much better in the reducing of just those two people.
14 is a lot. 14 is a lot.
14 was a lot.
Now you get to a point, I think, in any draft, like you said, sounds like for you, it comes a little earlier where you're like, wow, like, there's some good players here, but ton of question marks. Now, for me, you know, I think it varies by position. I happen to think quarterback is pretty deep. I'd love getting one of the elite, I guess you could say the elite four, Breeze, Rodgers, Manning, Brady. I think those are the elite four. But I think the second tier is fairly solid. I wouldn't stretch to take one of them, but I'd be happy with someone in that next tier, talking about like Rivers, talking about Tony Romo, Kevin Cobb, Matt Ryan as well. Eli Manning, maybe. But I think running back is a position that's extremely top-heavy just because so many teams have multiple running backs, like the one that's in this building that we're in right now, the Patriots, where, you know, could Fred Taylor end up being a 1,000-yard back this year? Yeah, he could. But that would go completely against what this team does or what this team has done the last couple of years. So I think it's very top-heavy with 8 or 10 guys at running back who you know are going to be the workhorses, barring injury. And then you just get this just multitude of players whose roles are not really defined. And then wide receiver, I find wide receiver to be that position that on a week-to-week basis, if I have one or two very good wide receivers, I'm fine with kind of rotating. Oh, you know what? So-and-so has been hot. Malcolm Floyd, who I was talking about earlier in the show. Oh, he's been hot. You know what? Let's pick him up off the waiver wire. He's not a waiver wire guy this year, but you get mm-hmm. my point. Mm-hmm. So I think it varies by position. Now, for me, I had the 12th pick. I was hoping that Randy Moss and Drew Brees would be around. I had my doubts, but those are the two guys because I felt running back, 7-8 running backs would go at least before I picked,
right.
And those are the elite. I was like, you know, I'm going to take a gamble and wait on running back. Now, as it turned out, I took Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews, maybe a little early. I think he might be a first-round guy, 13th overall.
I just saw that you took him.
Home. A little early.
Early you took him.
But I'm not, but I think he is the guy in San Diego. They traded up so high to get him.
Yep.
They're not getting him to just be a change of pace back or getting him to be a part-time player. He, to me, is the guy in an offense that I think is very much, they have a good passing game, but very much heavy on the running back. So I was pretty happy with Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Matthews because I felt like if I don't get Ryan Matthews right there, you know, Andre Johnson and Randy Moss had both gone. There wasn't a wide receiver I was going to take. I took Aaron Rodgers. I felt, you know what, I'm going to go Ryan Matthews.
Well, speaking of the Chargers, I think it's going to be interesting to see where Vincent Jackson goes. And on another note, kind of connected to that, since Hoosh is no longer in Seattle, pick up the transaction that I made yesterday was I picked up Mike Williams because he's now a starter. And, you know, I've heard that Vincent Jackson may be going to Seattle. I mean, that's just, you know, one of the many rumors circulating before the regular season kicks off here. So that would decrease Mike Williams' value a little bit. But if you've already drafted and not very confident in your wide receivers, I would definitely take a look at possibly picking up Mike Williams from Seattle.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We talked about this already earlier. Steve Smith and Mike Williams, you cannot simply say Mike Williams or Steve Smith. Now,
right,
I knew
right.
what you were going with in the context of TJ Houshmandzadeh. Mike Williams is Seattle, but it's very important, very important. It's not just Steve Smith. It's not just Mike Williams. It's Steve Smith of. It's Mike Williams of. But your point is well taken.
And it's almost the Giants Steve Smith has kind of taken over for Carolina Steve Smith because,
I think so.
You know, I mean, he was a total flop last year. The Carolina Steve mm-hmm. Smith, total flop. And then, you know, he goes and decides, hey, I'm going to break my arm and, you know, playing flag football. And it's when you say Steve Smith now, people almost automatically think of the Giants Steve Smith.
Yeah, the tide is turning. The tide is turning when it comes to the Steve Smiths. Now, the Mike Williams, they both burst onto the scene. Now, the Mike Williams of Seattle is an all-time draft bust. You know, was with Seattle. I mean, was with drafted by Detroit and bounced around, I think, Tennessee. But, you know, reunited with Pete Carroll is probably going to help him out a lot. And that wide receiver situation in Seattle, I think it's a jumbled mess. I think Mike Williams could very well emerge because I'm not huge on Deion Branch this year. Deion Butler, Golden Tate. Mike Williams could be the guy. Now, you had your first pick. You took Chris Johnson.
Right, and I actually want to get into that a little bit with you because I think, honestly, this year it might be better to have the second pick because I am a very indecisive person, and I really couldn't decide between Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson only because I feel like it's going to be very hard for Chris Johnson to replicate those long runs he had last year prior to his touchdowns because Adrian Peterson, everybody knows he's a great red zone guy. He'll pound it in the red zone. And, you know, some fumbling issues he says he's going to take care of this year. But that's my big dilemma. Can Chris Johnson have the same types of runs prior to his TDs as he did last year?
Honesty is the best policy.
There you go.
I think... That's a drop in I guess I'm going to have to get used to, huh? I am very high on Chris Johnson this year because my feeling is I'd safely take Chris Johnson number one without hesitation. I think these running backs, these top-notch elite running backs have a very short shelf life. But during that short shelf life, their actual NFL teams are going to maximize their use and their fantasy team is going to benefit. I think 2 years, maybe even next year, Chris Johnson will be down. Think about Adrian Peterson. I think for 2 years, maybe it was 3 years, he was, bar none, the number one guy. Now you start, okay, some fumbles, his yards per carry average is going down, and he's still a top three guy. But I think Chris Johnson is the number one guy without doubt. The Tennessee Titans revolve around Chris Johnson. That means he's going to get the rock. He's going to get the rock a ton. It shouldn't matter to a fantasy team what his yards per carry average is, but he's going to get the yards. He's going to get the touchdowns. He's going to be the guy for Tennessee. They don't have a great passing game. I mean, Vince Young is there too, but I feel like in a league where every player has some question marks, every player has an injury, is injury prone. Every player could be out for the year on any given play. Chris Johnson, I think, is the safest guy. You made the right choice, I think. Wrong choice for the other 11 guys in the league, other 11 people in the league, but you made the right choice. And then you took Ryan Grant at the end of the second round. Were you thinking, I've got to get two running backs, or was that just, who had been taken at wide receiver and quarterback at that point?
I think the benefit of being in a few different leagues is that you can kind of vary, when you think about it, drafting a wide receiver in the first round a couple years ago was just completely unheard of. So, and you know, I know there's PPR leagues now and that kind of ups that factor, but in one of my leagues, I actually drafted Andre Johnson first. And I kind of just wanted to test a couple things out. So one league I drafted, two running backs first, one league I drafted wide receiver running back. And I kind of just wanted to see, what's the best combination. It's always you have to look at the players and who's there. And with the 12 players and people in our league, it's really difficult by the time it snakes back around. I had the 24th pick, first pick and 24th pick. So it's kind of just have to evaluate, who's there. I ended up getting Roddy White with my third pick, who I think is a pretty solid pick. So, you just have to evaluate who is still there and kind of your first pick is really what is going to determine the rest of your draft. You have to center the rest of your draft around your first pick.
Yeah. Well, the first pick is where you have to get the impact.
Right.
I mean, you've got to get the impact. It's a guy that, if your first pick struggles early on, you're not going to want to cut that guy. It's not going to be a guy you're going to cut or you're even going to trade. You're going to ride him. You're going to ride that first pick because you don't want to give up on that first pick. You've got to get the impact there from that first pick.
And speaking actually of first pick, talking about the last pick, I read a really interesting article that talked about always draft a kicker last. And I know the funny thing
is, I'll tell you what.
Here's the funny thing. Most people don't, they're like, well, yeah, of course I would. But then they don't do it. They like start freaking out in like the 13th or 14th round if it's a 15 round draft. And they're like, I need oh, look, that slot's still open. I need a kicker. It's like this article that I was reading, it said the point difference between the best kicker in the league and like one of the worst kickers, it's so minuscule. It doesn't matter. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean,
Lindsay. Do I know what you're saying? I have written in the past, and I have said in the past, I will never, ever, ever select a kicker before the last round of an in-draft event. I will never do it. To me, a kicker, more than any position, his point, his ability to generate points is based on opportunity. That opportunity comes from everybody else on the field, not from
exactly.
him. It comes exactly. from everybody else on the field. It is luck of the draw. In every single draft I'm in, I wait till the very last round, and then I say, okay, which kicker has one or both of the which kicker has one of the following two qualities? Plays in a dome or plays in warm weather. Give me that guy. And you know what? When that guy has his bye week, I will cut him regardless of what his name is. If his name is Steven Gostkowski, I will cut him. If his name is Joe Schmo kicker, who's in 1 week, 1 week wonder, I will cut him. I will not have two kickers on my team, and I will not draft a kicker until the last round. I took Dan Carpenter this year in the very last round. He's, you know, on a what I think is going to be a pretty good offense, warm weather guy. Give me Dan Carpenter.
People just overthink it. Just take a kick. Whoever's left on the board, take a kicker.
And you went with Jay Feely?
I mean,
fine
whatever.
By me.
You know what I mean?
Fine by
there's
me.
There's a guy in one of my leagues. He drafted a kicker in the eighth round. The eighth round.
Would never
he drafted
do it.
A kicker.
Would never
and,
do
and
it.
And he kind of just he did this 1 year, and everyone you know gave him so much you know stuff for it for drafting it so early, and so now he just kind of does it every single year. He just draft. We're like, hey, it's the seventh round. You getting ready? You eyeing up the kickers? Because it's just now it's just an inside joke, and you know
not for me.
He probably
total
feels like
bobblehead.
Such an idiot.
Not for me. All right, while we have you here for a couple more minutes, the emails are pouring in. Not a coincidence, I'm sure, that they're pouring in since you've come on the air here. But let's bang out a few of these and get your thoughts as well. This one from Todd in Nova Scotia.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, B-Lo, welcome back. What's your feeling about taking unproven players high in the draft, like Arian Foster and Ryan Matthews? I'm going to add another one in there. He mentions Arian Foster and Ryan Matthews. I'm going to add in C.J. Spiller, a guy that I took in our draft. So what is your feeling, Lindsay, about taking unproven players in the draft, basically guys who are rookies, or a guy like Arian Foster, who this is the first time leading into a season that he is a lead back? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you took Ryan Matthews in one of your drafts. I took Arian Foster.
That's
so
right.
I think it just depends on how high are we talking here, you know?
Yep.
I mean, that's really what it depends on. I would say I like C.J. Spiller. I'm a little bit worried about Fred Jackson and Marshawn Lynch. I know it's like, you know, it's that it's that rotation, so
yep.
I'm not as high on C.J. Spiller. But, you know, I mean, when you take a look at Arian Foster, I feel like he's pretty much it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, so that's kind of what you have to look at. Who's the second back? Who's this guy going to be surrounded by? Who is he going to get rotations with?
To me, it's all about opportunity. And
right.
and you have to read up before your draft. You have to do some homework on where these guys stand with their team. Now, C.J. Spiller, I took in the eighth round, which I think with or without Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson being healthy, I think that's around the right time. Because like I said with Ryan Matthews, you take a guy top 10, top 12, top 14, and he's a running back, I think that team will be foolish to not give him the opportunity. It's not like he's a second-round guy or a third-round guy. Now, I think running back is a lot different than wide receiver. I think rookie wide receiver, a lot tougher learning curve, harder to make an impact. I think rookie running back, if he's going to get the opportunity, he's going to be a good fantasy player. Not across the board. I mean, you know, Donald Brown last year. I think last year going into the season, Joseph Addai, Donald Brown, I think a lot of people, myself included, thought, well, Donald Brown's the new, fresh guy. He's going to get the chances. He had a very shaky year. But I think Ryan Matthews, C.J. Spiller, Arian Foster now, these guys are going to get the opportunities. They're probably going to have a good year. Wide receivers, I'd think differently. So, Todd, you know, basically what I would say is, you've got to read up on what teams think about these players. I think Ryan Matthews is the guy in San Diego. It looks like Arian Foster is the guy in Houston. I think C.J. Spiller is the guy in Buffalo as long as Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson are sidelined. So it's obviously case by case, Todd, but that's a great question. It's hard to have one theory about that, but if I had a theory, it would be go with the running back, be a little more cautious with the wide receiver.
And it's tough because so many times, too, teams just have that goal line guy. Like Donald Brown, he was primarily goal line guy. A couple years ago, Brandon Jacobs was a goal line guy. I mean, you really have to be careful how, even if you look at the rotation, it's like, how is that player getting in the rotation?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Because goal line, short yardage goal line, that's a huge question mark. You know, absolutely. Okay, next email from Joe. As far as fantasy points, which running back on the Patriots team do you think will give me the points this year? It's hard to tell who will get a lot of play time. Well, Joe, Lindsay and I cover this team every day, and we have no idea either. You know, I mean, and since I've been doing this show, 2008 and 2009, it's been the same thing. The Patriots in 2008 had a really good running game. I mean, a really good running game. but no one had more than like 600 or 700 yards. Last year, the Patriots' running game, not as good, but not terrible, and no one had like more than 500 or 600 yards. Who do you think is going to be the main guy? Who do you think at the end of this year will have been the best fantasy running back on the Patriots?
I would say if I had to draft a Patriots running back right now at this point, from what I've seen, I would take Fred Taylor.
Yeah, and I'd agree with you, but I wouldn't do it with a very good outlook for the whole year. Like, I think this weekend against Cincinnati, I think Fred Taylor's the guy. Lawrence Maroney didn't practice yesterday. It seems like he might be, listen, we've talked all preseason about he might be in the doghouse. He might not be getting the carries, but specifically this week, it looks to me like Fred Taylor's that guy. But would you be surprised on any given Sunday if Sammy Morris had a 100-yard game? Would you be stunned if Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had a big game on any given week?
No.
And I think this offense is going to be balanced, so I think there will be running yards to be had. I'd agree with you. Fred Taylor right now seems to be the guy, but you know he's probably going to be hurt at some point. A lot of these guys are going to be hurt. It's very hard to tell. So it's a very good question, Joe, but one that really doesn't have a great answer at this point, and that's just kind of the philosophy of the Patriots. That's the way they roll. Lindsay mentioned short yardage, goal line guys. There is a note that I saw today out of Steelers camp that Mike Tomlin has named Isaac Redman his team's short yardage back. And I'm looking on RotoWorld right now. What do they say? Bad news for Rashad Mendenhall owners. Mendenhall will still see some time, some touches near the goal line, but you can probably safely knock a few touchdowns off his projection. So that's very interesting. You don't often hear a team or a coach announce a specific player as the goal line guy or as the short yardage guy. But when he does, he's doing a favor to fantasy owners. Mendenhall owners might not want to hear that, but better to know now. Then on Sunday, when all of a sudden the Steelers get to the one-yard line and Mendenhall's on the bench, you got to keep that in mind. So if you drafted Mendenhall in the first round this year, you might want to be careful about that.
And I was actually shocked to see that Mendenhall on some of the, fantasy
Mendenhall
draft sheets
is ridiculous.
He was so high because, I covered Steelers football for a little bit and I know how the system works. It's that same type of running back situation where, they'll rotate the running backs. We still have Mwaldi Moore and Isaac Redman. He's been great during the preseason. He was a name that was talked about in Pittsburgh a lot last season. And that kind of worried me. I was a little shocked to see his name up so high.
Absolutely. All right, Lindsay, we're going to take a break now. We thank you for coming in. You've aced your first test here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Thanks,
there's
Brian.
A chance. I'll invite you back.
All right.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks,
all right, Brian. You're listening to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. We've got a handful of emails. We're going to take a quick break and bang through those emails right after this.
Have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you hey, girl. Collapse?
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. That's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown. A flurry of emails in the inbox as we wind down our first show of 2010. So we're going to hit on each one really quickly here. This first one, comes in from Sean. I just had my draft last night. This is what my lineup looks like. Joe Flacco at quarterback, Ryan Grant and Ronnie Brown at running back, Randy Moss and TJ Houshmandzadeh at wide receiver, JerMichael Finley at the tight end spot, and the Dallas defense. How do you think I will do considering the positions I drafted? Also, I have Slayton, Thomas Jones, Forte, Gonzalez, the Colts Gonzalez, I believe, on the bench, among others. Vince Young is my backup. Now, Sean says he drafted in positions 10 and 3, so I'm not quite sure exactly what he means by that. I assume that means 10th and a 12 team. Yeah, 10th and a 12 team league, so 10th in one round, 3 in the next. So I would assume that Randy Moss was your first pick and Ryan Grant was your second pick. Love the Moss pick. Grant, to me, is a little high if that's where you took him, but I like Flacco a lot. Like I was saying earlier in the show, maybe not an elite game this week against the Jets, but not bad. Love your tight end, JerMichael Finley. As far as a week-to-week possibilities, you know, I think Matt Forte is a guy to consider in that Ronnie Brown spot. Slayton, you're probably not going to need much. Vince Young is not a bad backup, although, you know, I don't know if he's top 24 right now, but not a bad backup. And as far as receiver, nice job, Kevin. I hope the listeners didn't lose their eardrums on that one. Randy Moss certainly is great, and Houshmandzadeh remains to be seen. I'm not sold on TJ Houshmandzadeh yet in Baltimore, but, you know, don't write him off, I would say, as well. Thomas and Antignash, California. Not sure if I pronounced that right. Who would you start from No'Shawn Moreno, Steven Jackson, LeSean McCoy, Michael Turner, and Javid Best? Well, you know, on a week-to-week basis, to me, it would probably be between Steven Jackson and Michael Turner. This week, Turner, Atlanta at Pittsburgh, and Steven Jackson is facing hosting Arizona. I'd probably go Jackson in that one. Love LeSean McCoy. Not so high on No'Shawn Moreno, and not as high as a lot of other people on Javid Best. Now, Thomas says you might say trade, but I'm absolutely stacked at other positions. Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, and JerMichael Finley at tight end. Yeah, I'd say you're in pretty good shape there. Kevin Cobb and Big Ben on the bench at quarterback. I only have the Steelers defense. Should I drop Vincent Jackson to pick up an extra defense? Bengals, Dolphins, Chargers are available. And finally, do you think the Raiders defense might be fantasy relevant this year? I do like the Raiders defense, but would want them more as a backup. I'm not sure that I'd rely on the Raiders defense to be my number one defense, but when they're playing certain teams like Kansas City, maybe Denver, yeah. Now, as far as your Vincent Jackson question, yeah, I would drop Vincent Jackson. He's a luxury item right now. He's out for the first 3 weeks of the season, regardless of where he plays. And the other thing to note, I feel like a lot of times, think about Chris Chambers in the middle of a couple years ago. A wide receiver changes teams, and it looks like Vincent Jackson's future will not be with San Diego. Changes teams in the middle of the year. Often that wide receiver doesn't put up huge stats. In my opinion, you might want to drop Vincent Jackson. I like the Dolphins defense for this week. I like them in general for the year, but specifically for this week. And I think the Chargers defense as well, playing Kansas City this week and overall over the course of the season, not a bad defense to have. I would very much consider all of that, Thomas. All right, next one. This is Ian in Scotland. in an 8-team league, drafted to a whopping 19 rounds, so each team has 10 subslots. I was very pleased with my draft results, picking 7th overall. Took Michael Turner 7th. Like that a lot. I think that's right about it. I don't think that's a steal by any means. That's right about where he should go. Andre Johnson at 10, I think, is an absolute steal. D'Angelo Williams at 23, very good selection. Larry Fitzgerald at 26, sounds about right. Wes Welker at 39. I'd put it a little bit high, but not bad at all. I think he's going to produce and produce well starting in week one. Then you got Matt Schaub, decent value at 42. Mike Sims-Walker, not real high on him as a third, fourth round guy, but you took him 55th. Sounds like fifth or sixth round in your draft. Very good. Jason Witten as your best tight end. That's great. Javid Best, 71. Yeah, that sounds about right. Felix Jones, 74. Not so much for me. Dez Bryant, worth a gamble at 87. Joe Flacco is a steal at number 90. Ravens defense is a steal at number 103. And then you got a few more there as well. Do I think Aaron Hernandez or Gronkowski will be fantasy relevant this year? Listen, based on the preseason, it's all about Gronkowski. He will be a red zone threat. I don't know if he's going to have such an immediate impact as you would think from the preseason, but I would absolutely like to have Gronkowski as my backup tight end this year. With this team, should I still be playing matchups? Because I'll find it very hard to bench any of my starters. Your thoughts? You always have to go matchups, but Michael Turner, you'll start. Turner and D'Angelo Williams, you'll pretty much start every week. Andre Johnson, you'll start every week. I could see Fitzgerald and Welker and Sims-Walker maybe being intermixed, but Jason Witten, you're going to start every week. So, always go matchups and go the hot hand, but I think some of your top-end guys will certainly be every week starters. Next email from Jay Martins in Pawtucket. So you don't think you should start the Saints D against the Vikings on Thursday? Consider this. That's true. I did say early on I don't like the Saints defense this week, but here's what Jay says. This is the Saints' first game at home since winning the Super Bowl. It's in front of a national audience, at home in the dome with those wild fans. I expect the Saints to play out of their minds. Number two, this is Favre's first game. He played very little in the preseason. He admits to having a bad ankle. The Saints attacked him in the NFC Championship game last year with great success. Favre will not have Sidney Rice to throw to, arguably their best receiver. And number four, Adrian Peterson is fumble prone. The Saints shouldn't win this game going away. 33-13 with at least four turnovers and likely one defensive TD. I like the Saints D this week. And Jay goes on to give me a few other thoughts. But all right, Jay, listen, you make a good argument. But I think Adrian Peterson's going to get it. That's an elite running back. Hard to put your defense up against Adrian Peterson on any given week. And I think the idea of playing at home, Super Bowl, overrated. The Saints will win the game. I think the Saints win the game, but I think it's going to be more of a shootout than you think. Brett Favre, yeah, it's his first game back, played very little in the preseason. To me, all this offseason, he was eyeing this game. He knew he'd be back. I still stand by, don't start the Saints D if you have a better option, but we'll see how that goes. And the last email we have here today, this one from Terry. Hey, B-Lo, I'm brand new to fantasy football, but a dedicated Pats fan since 95. A friend finally talked me into joining his league, and we had our draft last weekend. I didn't really know what I was doing, so it is definitely a homer squad. That said, most of my Pats players are currently sitting on my bench. Do you mind checking out this roster and letting me know if I should shift any of them to starting roles in week one? Go Pats. This is from Terry. All right. Well, Terry's got Tom Brady as his starting quarterback. Listen, you don't have to be a homer. He's one of the top four quarterbacks. No worries there. Rashard Mendenhall and Darren Sproles, also C.J. Spiller as your running backs. Mendenhall, great. Sproles, shaky as a starting running back. I think C.J. Spiller is very good, at least early on. Wide receivers, DeSean Jackson and Donald Driver, very capable wide receivers with great quarterbacks thrown to them. I think you'll be fine there. Heath Miller, a little weak as a starting tight end, but not too bad. Ravens defense, very good, and David Akers. Then quickly the bench, Wes Welker, Clinton Portis, Carson Palmer, Mario Manningham, Chris Chambers, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman. The two things I would say would be you might want to consider Clinton Portis in for Darren Sproles at running back. Washington this week is facing Dallas. Might not be a great matchup, but I think he's a better bet than Darren Sproles. And then Welker, not so much this week, but on a week-to-week basis, you might want to get him in there instead of DeSean Jackson. So for your first week, I would say the one move I would make there, Terry, would be to get Clinton Portis in for Darren Sproles. Other than that, for a first-time fantasy guy, I think you've done well. So good luck to you this weekend, Terry, and thanks for emailing in. Good luck to everybody this weekend. Week one is coming up starting Thursday night and then a full slate of games Sunday, two games Monday night. Everybody's been eyeing this week. If you're a fantasy football fanatic like I am, this is the week you've been waiting for. Finally here, your draft is in the book. Feel confident with the team you got. analyze the free agency pool after this week, and you're going to be fine. Thank you for emailing in to all 9, 10, 11, 12 of our emailers this week. We appreciate it. And once again, the Fantasy Lowdown will come your way every single Thursday, starting next Thursday from 4 to 5 Eastern, the same time slot we've had the last couple of years. Our thanks to Kevin Collins, a great job in his first day producing the Fantasy Lowdown, and our thanks to Lindsay Petruni for joining me as well. We'll see you next week here on the Fantasy Lowdown. I'm